Scott Flowers is with us today. He's going to talk about his candidacy for Leon County Commissioner. Marion Lindley was with us some time ago, and so we're bringing her back to this conversation as commissioner in that same seat. She is stepping aside, and Brett Wellman is singing out his heart Saturday night at the Bradfordville Blues Club, so we'll have some of his music, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Welcome back to this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, yours truly, bringing you good news of great joy. The political season isn't quite over, but it's coming. It's within an arm's reach. I don't know, man. We got a few more months until November. We got a primary coming up this coming week, Tuesday. Lots of decisions to be made there. Scott Flowers, local businessman running for Leon County Commissioner at large to fill that seat currently occupied by the very well respected and appreciated Marianne Lindley, Commissioner Lindley, for her part, having served the community for many years and near and dear to her heart, this Leon Works project that Scott will talk with us a little bit about in his candidacy. So was she, you know, a journalist who turned local community politician, but definitely not a politician in the sense that she has these, you know, broader, larger aspirations. Really didn't, I think, when she first took office. I think it was in keeping with her role as someone who likes to help and hold others accountable for what they're doing. And, you know, that's kind of the role that journalists play. We would hope that there's a level of honesty and accountability that goes into the work that they do. In any case, I think Marianne is one of those folks, if you want to call her old school, well, okay. She's one of these kind of people who still believes in some of those older ideas and practices that, has done so as a county commissioner. I think she's always been pretty forthright about her thoughts on any given topic. This Leon Works project that she was largely responsible for promoting and pushing forward has turned out to be a pretty cool thing. And if you're not familiar with it, you need to acquaint yourself with it, because what it does is empower folks who are not college bound necessarily, but who are looking for trade skills and looking to supply the much needed job market with that kind of skilled worker. Well, so here's this partnership then with Tallahassee Community College and Leon County, and on it goes. And they developed several academic programs, training programs for those students. Good example, I think, of let's say a kind of partnership across the way. It's the one thing that this town misses most of the time, You heard it in Monique Ellsworth's comments this last Saturday. We brought to you the conversation that we had with Monique when several months ago. We talked about her role as now the CEO for Second Harvest of the Big Bend. Well, what does she talk about? In her most frustrating observation, I suppose, and experience in serving people within the social service groups that she's been part of, Second Harvest is the most recent, is the lack of interagency cooperation. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar? Whether it's law enforcement or social services, media outlets, governmental organizations, county, city. Yeah, what is that? Why is it that it is so difficult for people to reach across, even neighborhoods, cooperating with one another? How about churches? Wouldn't you, can you imagine seeing some large white church on the northeast side of town invite a black pastor from a church on the south side of town to participate in one of their services, you know, and to bring that message for that day? Or how about that black church inviting that white church to participate in some kind of a family day? Like, churches love to do that. Like, they do their, you know, potluck and their dinner on the grounds. And I remember in the old days, having served in a number of churches and a number of denominations over the years, they would do this homecoming. Baptists are big about homecoming. So do some kind of a community outreach and cooperate. Bring the two or even three churches together or more. You know, reach out across the way and say, let's collaborate on a continuing basis, not in a token way. But don't we have the same objectives in mind? Well, apparently not. Or the question would be, what are your objectives? And when you hear this in my conversation coming up here with Scott Flowers in the second hour, I'm going to ask him about that. You know, because I have this notion that somehow we've relegated ourselves to a kind of plantation way of thinking. And I don't think that's by accident. I think that we have inherited what we started out with. Go back to the early 1800s when this county grew coastal cotton, you know, and it is a highly prized type of fiber. And it was making those plantation owners then lots and lots of money. It's what brought them here. They heard about it. Newspapers up north along the Carolinas and the Virginias, man, newspapers were full of stories of people making their fortune. It's what brought Francis Epps here and his family and his slaves. And they set up shop, and he became the mayor of several occasions. He was serving as mayor of Tallahassee, established the police force early on. Tallahassee Police Department is on record as one of the oldest, some say the third oldest, but there was actually a period of time where they actually ceased operations and then came back. But in any case, I'm not going to get picky here. Tallahassee Police Department, yeah, big part of our history from the beginning, early on. Of course, recently, Francis Epps' statue now has been removed from campus to some other undisclosed location. I don't know where that ended up. You know, but it begs the question, what have we inherited? Is it more than land, more than a lifestyle? Is it a way of thinking? I mean, I think of culture in a way that is in many respects indelible. And you can reinterpret and you can redefine and you can sift through the parts that you don't agree with and you can decide going forward, we just don't do that anymore. Hey, in 1860, the census of 1860 reveals 75% of the population in Leon County was enslaved. That's not that long ago. That mentality that said this is the way it ought to be, has that faded from view? Well, we don't see it displayed, no. But how much of that way of thinking pervades everything else we do in business, in church, in government, in all of those ways that we are as a community? I call it plantation mentality. Stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Music of the great Brett Wellman. They are tonight, Saturday night at 9 o'clock, Bradfordville Blues Club. Though they are closed officially, they are hosting these live shows by making arrangements with local artists, Brett Wellman among them. And Brett, kind enough to be out there tonight for you and I performing. If you would like to listen in, I invite you to tune to Moose Magnificat Radio, 9 o'clock. And if you're asking yourself, Moose, what the heck is Moose Magnificat? Well, Moose is a streaming radio station. Full disclosure, it is owned by Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, same company that produces this here fine radio show. So that's us. And what you're going to want to do is listen in for his live show with Chris Balding and Dangerous Dave. Gary Anton will be hosting out there. It's a great thing, and we're pleased to be able to bring you that every Saturday night live from the BBC on Moose Magnificat. If you go to moosemagnificat.com, you can download the app to your phone. It's free, and it's ad-free, so we don't clutter up the broadcast with advertising on the app as such. Now, you will hear some on the station, but that's just because we've got to pay our light bill every now and then. You know, it's nice. Anyway, music from Brett Wellman. I've got another selection for you here at this moment. So let's take another pause and we'll listen in to the music of Brett Wellman.
Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557. More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Marianne Lindley has served this community for a number of years in a number of different ways. From my humble perspective, as a journalist, for I think, 50 years? No, maybe a couple of decades. She was dutiful in her writing with the Tallahassee Democrat as a columnist and as a reporter, just did a lot of that kind of bone-crunching kind of work that it takes to be good in that position, to be a writer that is not only readable, well, dear God, help us, that we could actually make sense of what the writer is writing. Well, Marianne was very good about being sensible, in my opinion, but to be factual, to be grounded in some connection to the truth, to the best of her ability. So I will tell you that when she chose years ago to run for office, county commissioner at large for Leon County, it came at the point in life when she'd already kind of, made her mark, you know, had kind of done her thing. And from my understanding, she wasn't pressed into service. She didn't have a group of people running over and saying, we need you to do this. It really came from her own gut. So let's welcome to the show Marianne Lindley. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Anything
very much.
I just said about you anywhere close to being accurate?
I think it was mostly factual. Yeah. it's my story.
Therein I rest my case about being the analyst that you are, sifting through bits of.
I do have a terrible habit of editing people's conversation.
I need that, though. I mean, dear Lord, I need that. And, of course, that's why Carl is, he appears to be much older than he really is, because I just have worn him out. But in any case, here you are, my dear friend, and the friend to so many. About halfway through your term?
Yeah, I'm a little, I was elected in 2012, and I am in the about a year and a half into my second 4-year term, which ends in 2020.
In 2020, and the word on the street is that, I think I'm okay now. I'm done with this. I'm not going to run again. At least that's where you're hanging your hat for now.
Yeah, that will be, I'll have served 8 years. I had a long career in journalism. I started working when I was 13. Don't you think I'm entitled?
And you're only 53, so I don't get this early retirement thing.
Again, with the editing.
Doesn't make sense to me.
But so that'll be 8 years. And at this point, you know, I think it's important for our community to have a lot of voices and change and another generation.
Okay.
You know, has...
On that note, no want for voices. Question, of course, which of those voices is going to occupy the chair? And there are a number of chairs at stake, both county and city.
Yeah.
And lately, the chairs have been moving around the room a lot as of this week. I mean, so we had Rick Miner on the show more than a couple of weeks ago, and during his conversation with us, he talked at length about the city business and his role in government over the years and his devotion to this, and then finds out, wait a minute, John Daly's running for mayor. Oh, well, then I'm going to switch. I'll go run for county commission.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that is something that it disturbs some people to see people shifting, like, here's what I want to do. Nope, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I think there are only a limited number of places in our Leon County, Tallahassee community where you can serve in public office. If what you like is public policy, if you feel that you're a reasonably good leader, if through your lifetime you've found people turning to you to listen to what you have to say, so you're feeling kind of comfortable that you can have the whistle and the clipboard and be out front of the parade. So there are a few jobs that come open. Is it going to be on the city commission when there's some opening? Oh, suddenly on the county commission, or is it the state legislature? Those are really the three opportunities you have to throw your hat in the ring for public service. School board, yes, but the school board is a distinctly different kind of work and an interest, usually, I would say.
Yeah.
So I don't really hold a grudge against people who say, I'm going to run for this. No, I'm going to run for that. I think they, if they're interested in public service and feel a leadership calling, they will, they kind of evaluate, well, where do I have the best chance of winning?
Right. When you came to office, and we talked about this, you didn't have, from my understanding, you didn't have this, you know, age-old burning desire to be in politics or to be in public office. You came up through the ranks and, as I said earlier, established yourself as a journalist and a columnist. And so your, we'll call it political leanings or your aspirations for office came rather late in the game.
You know, we talk a lot about, or some people do, about reinventing themselves. And I think, you know, at some point I reached a time where I had done a lot of work in journalism. Mm. And the things I did there kind of prepared me for public life in this way.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested in public policy. I was interested in community discussions. I like to talk to people and hear from them. I like to do research. I'm a good reader of, you know, fairly dense stuff. I'm able to make decisions eventually. You know, I like to listen and wave back and forth.
You're ponderous in some respects.
Ponderous,
yes.
Yeah. And so actually the work I'd done in the media was very helpful. And then also when I was a kid, I started out, I mean, home on the farm way back then. My dad talked about public issues and community issues. He kind of liked politics.
And you were that middle child trying to bring both sides together, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. I was kind of, you know, the first newspaper job I had, the old country editor was very interested in politics. So I kind of grew up thinking this was very interesting.
When you see the kind of wrangling that's gone on of late, being the kind of person that you are, I think, as a personality, as I understand you, it's got to be disrupting. It's got to be uncomfortable for you, right? To say, guys, can we just stop yelling at each other and get something done here? Is it that way for you?
Well, it is a little, yeah, the word of the hour is a disruptor. And I am more of a peacekeeper, I guess. But I'm also, I know it comes with the territory. Yes, sometimes I do feel people are just way over the top, and I'm thinking, you know, you're not making any progress here. I mean, I guess I look at it honestly as kind of an editor. When you're too far out there and you start name calling, you aren't winning over anybody. Mm. You're getting a few "you tell them" enthusiasms,
right?
But you're not making much progress. To me, I mean, it's just the way I look at the world, that you have to ratchet it down and really talk to a person reasonably and really try to listen to what they're saying, and you hope they will in return.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm kind of driven to a calmer center.
Yeah. We talk a lot about party politics nationally. Some of that goes on locally. These are nonpartisan positions.
Yes.
Yet there seems to be some bit of the party aspects going on, because you find out that this party is really all behind this candidate versus this candidate who has got all these people that are, again, aligned along certain party lines.
And the branding is
why does that make a difference, I guess?
I think it's ease of It's easier, honestly.
For the candidate?
For the voter.
For the voter.
Most of the issues that come before local government are really nonpartisan issues.
Yeah.
Sidewalks and
right.
sewers and parks aren't. Land right. use plans, they really aren't.
Maybe we should have conservative parks and liberal parks. Then you could choose the one.
There are some, yes, that do come up, and they do rise to the level of,
wow.
And it usually has to do with money, like, oh, you're going to spend too much money or you're wasting.
Or that.
And that's, I guess there's a certain degree of party stuff in that, but to some extent, it's just what are your priorities, but you're maybe not my priorities, and vice versa.
We're talking to Marianne Lindley. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We've got more. Stay with me. Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Marianne Lindley. She is County Commission at Large for Leon County. And I know that that's been the claim with Rick. He said, you know, I know how government works. I've worked within government at a local level. Mm-hmm. And in that capacity, I'm the best qualified because I really understand where all the buttons are and all the levers mm-hmm. and the chains that need to be pulled. And then you talk to somebody like Jeremy Matlow, who says, well, that's the problem, is that we've got people who do know the system, know how to work the system, but they're out of touch with what it's like to be a business owner, as he is, mm-hmm. and what it is to do business with the city via, you know, permitting or whatever happens to come down. So you end up with this interesting sort of juxtaposition. Do you want the person who really has no background in government? And that was your position. I mean, you hadn't served before. You right. ran for office, but you brought to the conversation a lot of skill and experience.
I had a background in public life.
Yeah.
Of being very vocal and being very, you know,
visible.
Criticized or, responding.
Yeah.
I think you're asking a question that is very interesting for voters as well as candidates. Are you a generalist?
Yeah.
Who understands sort of the scope of what governing is about, and you feel that you're up to solid decisions, and or do you have a specific arena that you're very interested in, and that's what you feel has the balance has shifted, and you would like to bring back more attention, whether it's to, I mean, I hate to oversimplify, but it is kind of growth or no growth, you know, business or trees or, you know, I mean, we do sort of get in our corners on
right.
a few things.
Right.
So for it was interesting when I threw my hat in the ring, I felt like I knew a lot about the community. I felt like I understood public policy. Once I got into office, I will fully admit, I was kind of overwhelmed by the way government actually does work. You know, and you would, you know, probably I was guilty of saying, gosh, things move so slowly in government. This is one example. But why does it move slowly? Well, partly it's because we have lots of public hearings. We have citizen committees that report to this group. And then we have staff evaluations. And the processes go through a lot of steps to make sure everybody is heard. And then maybe there's a lawsuit on the side. So that works its way through the courts. So government isn't fast, and hopefully it eventually lands on something that is a reasonable approach for most people most of the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But learning the processes of government, when some candidates say, I understand that, I think that's actually quite helpful if you understand that government is a process.
Right. And the governing side of that.
It's not bad to know that.
Yeah, the governing.
It could be very useful.
Of the, relate it to the county, but the governing side of the county's business being your side versus the, we'll call it administrative side, the people who are the career professionals within various bureaus and such.
Right.
They're the ones that do have to, in many cases, act quickly if a hurricane is coming through,
yeah.
Right? They got to know what button to push because otherwise some people are going to get hurt.
But they're acting quickly because along the way, the network of the facilities, the training, the staffing,
yeah.
the knowledge of law and ordinances mm-hmm. and is in place for them. And that might have been real slow coming.
That was the part, yeah, the governing part of
uh-huh.
getting that to come about.
Uh-huh.
And so when we were expecting these administrators to be able to move quickly, well, we have to put in perspective the fact that there's just not been enough progress on the governing side to address that. Nobody thought
mm-hmm,
about
mm-hmm.
what happens if all the lights go out in Tallahassee for 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
Well, nothing had happened, and so we rocked along thinking, gee,
yeah.
the last time it happened, we managed.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah
so, yeah.
You have, I think, an advantage, too, in that, to help us better understand the process, in that you have been a sort of centrist in some respects, or at least a connecting individual. So you have good relationships with your colleagues, and you've been able to reach out to a lot of people on these, what you would call maybe dichotomous issues, right? Growth, no growth, whatever. Do you find yourself thinking, I'm wasting my time? I mean, there's just a sort of...
Oh, never.
No?
Not ever, no. In terms of time, I do think this work as a... This job as a county commissioner is more a way of life than a job.
Huh.
It's a way of thinking about how you respond to things that come to you in any given day. No, I don't feel like I'm wasting my time. I feel really, really very... honored, it's kind of the word, but I do feel that way, that people sort of say, okay, we would like you to kind of sift through these issues and try to come up with some ways of helping, resolve problems.
Yeah, I've got Mark O'Brien coming in the second hour of the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about Tallahassee's future, current situation and future, and he's definitely a futurist. When you talk with him at length,
mm-hmm.
you find out he has a lot of ideas
mm-hmm.
about where this region is going for the next 15, 20, 25 years. Imagine with me 5 years from now, what does Tallahassee look like then? How will it be the same? How might it be different, do you think?
I think because of our geographical location, we are going to continue to have a real small city feel. I think we're going to have a beautiful and kind of cozy neighborhood feeling of this community, because we don't just blend into the next suburban area. We don't just,
mm-hmm.
blend into another area and you're not ever sure where the county line ends.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that feel, I think that comfort and the beauty of the community is going to be as it is pretty
mm-hmm.
much. We're growing and change is coming mm-hmm. in lots of ways. The other piece of it, though, is that I do think people move here these days. We've somehow reached a tipping point. We did maybe 10, 15 years ago, where people move here with different expectations than they did maybe when I moved here several decades ago. I think people used to come to here. It was a government town and a university town. And you worked for one or the other. And it was a nice place to raise a family. It wasn't too big. I think people come here now, particularly a younger generation, wanting the amenities of bigger cities. They want more stuff. They want a cooler mm-hmm. thing, a cooler environment.
Mm-hmm.
So they embrace, I think people come here wanting more. They want more arts. They want. We have a lot of arts and culture mm-hmm, here and mm-hmm, sports. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday, I was at a program discussing how to market this place as a tourism and visitor destination. What do we have to offer? We have kayaking tours. We have music everywhere. Pretty much any night of the week. We have a lot of culture. We have a lot of places where you can take classes and lessons and hear talks and mm-hmm. speeches, you know, mm-hmm. About everything from the magnetic lab to cross-stitching, you right. know, anything.
Right. Yeah, there's a stretch. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and here we are in the month of April with festivals yeah. to boot. I mean, we got them all going on, right, from Chain of Parks to springtime. I mean, it's all there. Word of South is coming up. We only have a couple minutes left, but the thing I would like to know is, in 2020, Marianne Lindley has officially let go of the reins. She's no longer in office. What does that look like?
You're asking what my front yard is going to look like, because I'm going to get to get out there and dredge out
you
some
and Emily
of the,
Post. Huh?
The, no, I'm going to get out in the yard and work in the yard more. I don't know.
Will you go back to writing as well? You
think I'd like to do some, yeah, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Will you write for our magazine?
Well, if you'd have me, yes, thank you. We can talk about that. I would like to. I haven't written anything but email in a long time.
Yeah,
and I do a lot of that.
That goes for a lot of us, yeah. And not very good email, for that matter.
I try to get my spelling right.
Well, you're that editor at heart, always.
I don't let that spelling check
get
the best of me.
Absolutely. Yeah, to the mother tongue forever. Folks, she's charming. She's contributive. She's unifying. And our friend, Marianne Lindley, who is serving this county quite well, in my humble opinion, county commissioner at large, and will continue to do so right up to that 2020 mark. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. Pleasure as always, Brian.
Likewise. Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to this hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Loving what I do for you, with you, about you. It's all about you, Tallahassee, you know. You and me and about 130,000 other people. But if you think countywide, which I tend to do more so, now you're at 187,000, just under 200,000, Leon County. But then again, if you look beyond city, county, if you go to the metro, now you're looking at five counties, Leon, Gadsden, Jefferson, Thomas, Wakulla, like that. And when you think about it, we'll say demographically, I mean, people who live out there in Havana, or Quincy, Thomasville, Monticello, Crawfordville, they're all part of this, what we know to be Tallahassee, one way or the other. Many of them, maybe most of them, work here. They come up to Tallahassee or come down to Tallahassee to shop many times. So there's a kind of crossing over. I think there's a kind of connectedness there, as much as you can be connected. And I want to talk to Scott Flowers about that. You know, this is a community that is known for its, you know, the best place to raise a family. That's one of the monikers. Great parks, you know, and recreation and all that good stuff. And it is good. At the same time that we'll rank up there in the numbers regarding violent crime nationally, or somebody like Richard Florida looking at our numbers, census data, and declaring us to be the most segregated community in the country. You know, and I keep bringing up bad news, but look, we're the ones that can fix that. We're the ones that can reach across the aisle. We're the ones that can bring together even competing entities. I mean, if you have to give up who you are just so that you can participate, well, that's not participation, right? I mean, that is wholesale entitlement. You're just giving yourself over to. But I think that there's something rather significant and important to our welfare when we maintain identity, maintain who we are, and share who we are individually, collectively. Organizations can do that. Neighborhoods can do that. I mean, when you talk to Jim Bellamy and some of the other folks that are principally involved in the Frenchtown community, okay, there's no need for them to give up who they are. You know, the county right now is trying to tear down an old facility that has been the Miccosukee Center for a lot of years. People got married there, and had parties there, and family gatherings of various kinds. And the county says, well, we're going to get rid of that community center, and we want you to use this very nice, nicely built structure over here, this school. And the locals are saying, well, no, because that's the school you told us we couldn't attend. That was the segregated school that, you know, kept us out. And you want us to go now and just take that on as part of our identity. Thank you, no. We like the facility that we have. That's where all the memories are. Memories are a big part of identity, aren't they? Sure they are. And that can be an individual. It can be a collective. It can be an entire country. What we recall, what we remember, good, bad, or indifferent, right? If you recall things in your personal life that were horrific, something that happened to you, Scott's going to talk about that, his personal life, you know, two incidences that really changed his course in life and brought about in him, I would argue, changes in his character, in his personality. He's a very sympathetic sort of person. That is to say, he's a person who very much cares about the welfare of others. He's sensitive to the plight of others. I mean, shouldn't that be said of all of us? I mean, think about it. You know, all the work that we do in this town to try to make life better for one another, and how much of that effort and time, frankly, just gets wasted, gets exploited. Why? Because plantations don't collaborate. They don't need to. They're self-sufficient. They rely on their own resources. And if you haven't lived here very long, you may not be sensitive to this, but if you've been here as a visitor and as a transplant, you're in the best position to recognize that. If you grew up here, you're probably dull to it. You're just, you know, you're part of the problem. Sorry to say. You just don't see it. You don't see why one neighborhood being completely cut off and separated from another is a problem. Well, it's a problem because both sides of that question remain dull. You know, I mean, I was introduced to this as a young man serving as an associate pastor in a South End church, a little tiny church down there on the south side of Tallahassee. And the pastor's wife reminding me that these were South Side folks, whatever the heck that meant. I had no idea. But I was educated. They taught me what it meant to be a South Side person. Yeah. And how it was that that was just the way God meant it to be. You know? Why do you need to change that? We're fine. Well, I suppose you don't. No, you don't. Unless, of course, you think that collectively we can do better for ourselves if we learn from each other and we get beyond the little fiefdom that we've declared to be our own. If we get up off of the couch, if we get outside and start walking the neighborhood a bit, if we start talking to people who are very different than who you and I are, yeah, I mean, maybe you find out they know stuff that you and I don't know. Maybe they have resource that has never occurred to us, never even knew was available to us. Maybe they just have a different view of the world than we do. What happens when those ideas, not just at a community meeting once in a while, not because it's been forced upon us, no, because we inherently decide there's more to be gained, more to be learned. Why? Because I got kids that would like to stay here. And I have every reason to think that there's a good future for them here. Well, it's not going to be simply about how much money they make. It's going to start because they believe Tallahassee is worth it, and they are worth it. It's worth investing and getting beyond this god-awful plantation way of thinking about ourselves. It all is worthwhile.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
He is a local business owner. He's 46 years old, which means he's old enough to know better, with experience in managing a nationally recognized statewide program for the Florida Department of Health. He's been involved in corporate management and has put time in with construction and automotive trade, so a diverse professional background. He and his family love the outdoors. Good place to do that right here in Tallytown.
Beautiful.
Try to get out to the springs and the trails and such every weekend. Now, this is a quote directly from Mr. Flowers. He says, "I love Leon County, and I appreciate and enjoy everything it has to offer. I can't think of a better place to raise my children or plant roots for a business. I know our community faces challenges, but we have abundant and unique resources and opportunities." So let's welcome Scott Flowers, who is candidate for Leon County Commissioner at large. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. This is terrific. I'm glad that you got a hold of me before we got to the primary election on Tuesday, so I'm glad to be here.
We're at the right place at the right time.
Yes, sir.
These days, that gets harder and harder with all of the constraints and quarantines and, you know, sheltering in place requirements.
Right.
Yeah. But here we are. And for all of those who might be a bit concerned for our welfare, we are observing strictly the guidelines that we are to follow, CDC recommendations. Scott, you are not only a husband, father, business owner, team leader, executive coach, but also a consultant. Tell us about your consulting work.
Well, through the years, I've owned several different types of businesses, and you know, you make connections. And then as I've moved on, I moved from Missouri to Florida. My dad has also owned a lot of businesses, and he's kind of done the same thing. He retired, but those connections you make, they continue to reach out to you and ask for advice. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, they're willing to pay. And so it wasn't ever a career goal of mine to be a consultant, but a lot of times, you know, you're busy and people say, I just really need you to come help with this. And you say, well, I've got to step away from some other things to do that. And they say, well, that's fine. I'll pay you for your time. And it kind of developed organically to where, you know, helping these businesses in need, and it's kind of a win-win scenario. And so then about 5 or 6 years ago, I decided to go and get certified through the John Maxwell Organization. Oh, cool. And so I'm a certified John Maxwell leadership coach.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive, because that's not easy to come by.
No, it took, you know, I spent a week. Yeah. And then he actually has a leadership university that you get access to whenever you go through his program. And so many of his writings, you know, he's written 20-something books. And then there's his staff has, you know, probably written hundreds more. So, you know, it was really a life-changing experience. Mm-hmm. I think more than anything else, it probably helped me in my marriage. Like going through that leadership training and kind of learning the John Maxwell philosophy on things, I learned how I could be better in control of the things that are within my control instead of trying to change the things outside your control, you know? And so I think it helped me be a better husband and better father. And more importantly, I think, is I look for the most direct, the simplest, the Occam's razor, the simplest solution to the problem at hand. And I think that's part of what I bring to this campaign, and hopefully what I'll bring to government is, you know, I don't know whether it's intentional or just kind of maybe lack of experience, but the government always seems to find the most complicated solution to problems. So I really want to bring that voice of simplicity and directness to let's find the direct solutions rather than the most complicated version.
So here's a guy, Scott Flowers, pretty accomplished, I mean, and business-minded, business experience. Mm-hmm. What the heck are you thinking, wanting to be a county commissioner?
Yeah, you know, it's...
glutton for punishment, man.
Yeah, you know, my dad and my wife, you know, I get asked that question a lot, I guess.
I'm certain that you would be.
You know, a couple of years ago, a chance encounter with a guy named Timothy Mosley here in town. He runs the Less Fortunate Still Matters Foundation. And he was sitting out selling barbecue outside the Verizon store, and my family stopped by, and we got some food, and we talked to him about, you know, it was hot, and we talked to him about why he was out there doing what he was doing, and he was raising money to feed hungry kids in Tallahassee. And you know, he wasn't out there selling food for a profit. He was selling food to fund the good works that he was doing in the community. And him and I became friends, and I tried to support him every chance that I could, kind of along the way, because of the good work he was doing. And, you know, it really stood out to me. And then just, you know, kind of happenstance, I ran into a few more people that were working within the community. I got invited out to a lock-in at the Palmer Monroe Teen Center. And you know, I already kind of coach and help with businesses, but this was youth. And I've coached some of my kids' teams. You know, my oldest son is in Science Olympiad and robotics. And, you know, I've volunteered in the schools, but really working with the at-risk youth and working within the community and seeing what these people are doing and how they're able to have an impact on the community with very little resources. You know, there's not a lot of money. It's really their time that they're putting in. A lot of them are self-funded. There's a guy named Sam Carter with Carter's Corners. He's been doing this for 20 years, and he's basically just self-funded. He puts his own time and his own money into developing these kids. And so it changed my perspective on things to, you know, how can I use my skills to impact the community in a different way? And that's kind of what led to the political campaign. And, you know, politics is an unfortunate side effect of that. What I want to do is help the community.
So. Yeah, isn't that incredible that you would make a distinction there between trying to help and then the political arena? It's interesting. I got a direct mail piece the other day from a particular political party, and they were wanting to make sure that I voted for everyone that was registered in that party. And they went about in the flyer saying, because of course you know that even at this level, you know, getting our guy or our woman in there is important, because as they advance through the ranks, you know, then we have more control, more power, more influence. You know, we want our values to be upheld. And I sat back and thought about that for a minute, and I thought, but this is a nonpartisan race. Well, it is for some of us, I guess, but some people think, no, it's not, because it's always about trying to advance their control, their perspective.
It's the most difficult question that I get. You know, people ask me often, am I a Republican or a Democrat? And you know, they don't seem to like no as an answer whenever they ask me that. They're looking for an either or situation. But it depends on the, it really depends on the subject at hand, and it really depends on local. You know, the when people think about the political parties, it's the national stage. They're talking about national issues, and here locally, those don't affect us on our day to day life. You know, we're more worried about, you know, the Wilani project. We're more worried about bus service to the airport. We're more worried about how we can create jobs here locally, and I just don't see either of the parties being a major influence on that. I want to worry about Leon County.
Talking to Scott Flowers, he is running for Leon County Commissioner at Large. Primary is this coming Tuesday, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Scott Flowers, who is quoted as saying that in all of his roles as a husband, father, business owner, on it goes, a team leader, executive coach, consultant, he says, I've encountered people facing what seemed like enormous challenges in all of these various arenas. He says they were seeing the obstacles instead of the potential. And we talked about this in the prior conversation, segment of our conversation. Maxwell's notion of seeing the circumstances, finding ways in which we can adjust, in his words, adjust the sails. I love that thought. I also like the metaphor of river rafting, especially whitewater rafting, because more often the river's taking you where it's going to take you.
Right.
And you do have a degree of control as to how you navigate that.
Right. You're not going to go upstream, but you can steer a little bit.
You can steer it, and you can avoid some of those points where you could be capsized or get tossed from the boat. I speak from experience. Carl will tell you about that later. But that ability to navigate, to anticipate, you're going to have those obstacles. It's part of the river.
Yeah.
And we are all on that river.
Mm-hmm.
In your life, you've had to navigate, no doubt.
Well,
what are the toughest things you've had to walk through personally?
Oh, man, you know, during this whole campaign, I haven't gotten to talk about this subject, so I'm so glad that you asked that, because I'm not somebody that talks about my personal adversities very much, but there have been two major ones in my life, and this is the first time I've talked about them on the campaign. But the first one, when I was about 20 years old, I was in an explosion. I was remodeling a house, and it burned 25% of my body, full thickness. I was in a burn unit for 10 days. I had 2 years of rehabs and pressure garments and you know, a couple of more follow-up surgeries to remove staples, of which I had thousands of, to hold the skin grafts on. And it went through a lot with that. One of the reasons now that I work with the Shriners organization was because whenever I was in the burn unit, the doctors want to prepare you for worst case scenarios, and they want to come and they want to tell you how important it is that you follow their protocols, and how important it is that, you know, you do your exercises, and they want to prepare you in case things go bad that you're not survived. So there's a lot of negativity in that burn unit environment. And where I was, there were some kids there. There was, you know, at ages 7 to 15, then, you know, they'd been injured in different kinds of ways. They all had burns. And so immediately I'm more optimistic. So I started thinking, what can I do while I'm still here? And how can I serve as a role model and an example and have some, bring some positivity to this? And so I started doing my first rounds of exercises in the hallway. And I would talk to the kids. I would walk the hallways whenever I got a chance. I would try to joke as much as I could, you know,
were all of 20 years old?
I was 20 years old, yeah. And most people that meet me now, they don't have any idea that, you know, even if you see me in swim trunks, you might notice my legs are scarred, but most people don't notice the scars on my arm or hands. But most people do notice the ones on my legs when I'm in shorts. Mm. But yeah, that was an experience that changed my life. And then when my youngest son, he's 12 now, but he was born at 27 weeks. He was born early, 3 months early, 2 pounds, 0 ounces. He had a heart defect. He stayed here in town for about 3 months in the NICU trying to get better and just didn't get better. Mm. Eventually, through help with the state, with Children's Medical Services, we were able to find a doctor that would operate on his heart. And so we got him to Shands. He got his operation. He started to get better, but then he started to develop seizures. His brain wasn't developed as much as it should have been during that time when he should have been maturing. So the first 4 or 5 years of his life, at one point we were given a prognosis that he would never walk or talk and then he would live a short life. But he's 12 now. He's perfectly normal. He's caught up with his classmates. It was, but it took a lot of work, a lot of struggle. Luckily, you know, through some of the state resources and through health insurance, like we were able to get him what he needed to help him develop through all that. But you know, really seeing him as a role model, the things he fought through to become a normal kid that he is now, you know, that was another life-changing moment in my life. And that's two of many, but that's two that I like to talk about because they were life-changing moments for me, but they helped me see the optimistic side. It helped me see through the struggles to see, you know, how we can get better and how we can overcome.
So that's the younger of the two boys.
The younger, yep. Yeah.
What's his name?
His name's Jasper.
Jasper. So you already had the one baby, and then this baby a year later.
Yeah, they should have been. They were supposed to be more like 18 almost, months apart, but they ended up being 15 months apart.
And here he is, Jasper, doing all right.
He's doing terrific. He for a kid that was never supposed to walk or talk, he never shuts up or quits moving. So it's
wow. Well, God bless Jasper. That ordeal. Wow, I'm trying to connect the dots here. Thinking about you at 20 years old, trying to be a role model for other patients who happen to be kids. Where does that come from for you? Was that your parents' influence, your family? I mean, did you grow up with that kind of do for others
life? Well, in a lot of ways. My dad has always owned convenience stores, truck stops, and I remember as a young kid, sometimes he'd bring home truck drivers or weary travelers that didn't have a place to stay. I don't know how many stray dogs that got lost at the places that came home. So yeah, in one point. And then, you know, I think, and then from my mom, it was always that looking for solutions. My mom never, even now today, she never sees obstacles. She just sees, what do we do next? And whenever I was in that burn unit, that's all I was asking the doctors, what do I do next? So what's the, you know, they're telling me all the things that could go wrong, which was probably important information, but all I was asking is, okay, well, what do I need to do? What's next? How do we get, you know, like, and that's how my mom has always been. She's always finding the way through, finding the solutions. Yeah. And so that's probably where that, I'd never really thought about it, but that's probably where that influence comes from.
Right. In that way, you fast forward then some 20 years later, I guess. Let's see. I'm not sure I'm doing the math correctly, but when Jasper was born, that was some time, obviously, after this incident at 20.
Oh, yeah.
Years had passed, and you're faced with another personal crisis, this time not inflicted directly on you, but having to watch this child of yours endure.
That's the hardest part. You know,
I was going to ask
at any moment have gone through all of that for him. You know, it's so hard it's so difficult to parent that, to be there, you know, when there were some of the procedures that they had to do, like a spinal tap on a, you know, on a 4-pound, 5-pound baby, you know, when they're trying to test him for things. And yeah, some of the things he went through is why I look at him in awe today that he's as normal as he is. But, you know, and his mom, she was Amanda, my wife, she was the first one to notice the seizures, which didn't really look like seizures. It's called infantile spasms, and it really just looks like a grunt or a, you know, it's not the grand mal type seizure that you're used to.
Not dramatic.
Right, yeah. And so she's the first one to notice a little bit of a change in his personality, a little bit of change, and then these little motions that he did that luckily a young emergency room doctor picked up on it right away. She had a video and showed to him, and he said, hey, it could be this rare thing, which of course I said, no, it's not a rare thing. He's not going to have this rare, you know, defect. It's probably just gas. I don't know, you know. But no, it was, and we were lucky. The doctor caught it really early, and we were able to start finding him help. But yeah, seeing him go through that, which, you know, we bring it up often in our house, you know, the stuff that he went through and how he's a normal kid today, and it kind of changes your expectations. And
yeah, and that for me, that plugs back into your broader sense of why you're running for office here. I mean, my gosh, brother, you could be doing a million and one things. It sounds like you are or have. How is it that you think your role as a county commissioner affords you more opportunity or more influence, or what is it?
I think it's influence on my part. I want to be able to help people the same way that I've helped myself and my family, and I want to help find better solutions to things. But then opportunity, you know, on a selfish level, I want my kids to stay here, and I want my kids to become prosperous here, and I want the same for their friends and my friends' kids. And, you know, so I want to help Leon County grow in a way that's healthy and sustainable, and, you know, protects the things that make it unique, protects the things that make it so beautiful, like all of our outdoor resources, our springs and our trails and, you know, all of that stuff. So, you know, in one way, it's because I truly believe I can help, and I want to be able to expand my influence beyond just my family and my business. I want to be able to do good for our community. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, I want our community to grow and prosper and be safe so that my kids have a beautiful place to stay whenever they grow up and raise their own families.
Gotcha. He is candidate for Leon County Commissioner at Large. Scott Flowers, our guest. You stay with me. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Scott Flowers, and during the break, we were getting into talking about some of his business acumen. He's the owner of G. Willie's Uniform. Isn't that what, right? Uniform
G. Willie's Uniform,
whatever.
Yeah, just uniforms.
And you like ice cream, apparently. So
Hershey's ice cream in particular.
So you decided to open up Sprinkles. Tell us about Sprinkles. That's a lot more interesting than uniforms.
Yeah, super interesting. Yeah, especially it's really my mom and dad. So we owned the real estate. There was a vape shop there that after vaping started getting some bad national headlines, his business was kind of suffering, and he decided to get out of it. And we thought, do we release it or do we do something fun here? And this was before the virus started. Actually, the virus probably was started, but it was before it was in the news, before we knew anything about it. And my mom has always been very artistic. She loves to get out, and so is my dad. When he gets into businesses, he's really creative with what he does. And so they wanted a fun family, you know, atmosphere, somewhere where my mom could paint the walls and my dad could sing karaoke. And a long time ago, I was involved with Hershey Ice Cream. We almost bought a Hershey's ice cream store, the one that was next to the Dollar Movies here over in that complex that has Pockets and Maury's and stuff. Right. And so I had been approved for a Hershey's franchise years ago. And so they started talking about what can we put up in this unit rather than releasing it. And We had a client in some South Florida or Central South Florida that was wanting to do a donut shop in the back of his hotel, and just several things just kind of came together, and they decided, let's take what we were going to do there, what you were going to do before, and let's, you know, create this fun family atmosphere, kind of an old timey feel, and Sprinkles came about just organically.
Wow. Yeah. And so then is all, are all of the family members working the business, or are you all
kind of
have a second party in that, or how's that?
Well, we have a manager that works in the mornings and orders the ice cream and makes the donuts, and then we've got a couple of part-time people that work the afternoons.
Aren't you like part in charge of quality control?
Exactly. Sort of, yeah. Just asking. Testing the menu development. We throw all the ice cream together. Yeah.
you'd have a hard time with me because you'd be like, okay, yeah, we're gonna close now, so you have to go home.
Nobody owns it. Well, part of what we did there is put in high-speed Wi-Fi. So we're hoping when the college kids come back that it'll be kind of a hangout place. We have Lucky Goat Coffee. We've got the Hershey's ice cream. We've got Little Orbits donuts. So we do want people to kind of hang out
there. Coffee, ice cream, and donuts.
Yeah.
No wonder you're running for office, right, man.
So can't sleep.
I'll vote for you.
Yeah.
Just promise you'll never close Sprinkles.
Right. Yeah. Well, once we get past all this virus, that's the plan. I hope that we've got people in there open to close.
Crazy. So I noticed that one of your statements here is, together we will all succeed. And then even another slogan, you're helping Leon grow. What does that look like for you?
Well, you know, at the time that I first thought about running, and unfortunately it's still in the news, but crime's in the news a lot. And let me back up a little bit and say that Jeremy Matlow was an influence as to why I decided to run. I saw him also volunteering at the Palmer Monroe Teen Center during his campaign. He was over there talking, and I got to know him. And then him and I somehow got tricked into modeling for the governor's inauguration. We ended up modeling suits. I don't know how. We were at a Christmas party, and my wife answered a text message for me, and next thing I know, I'm supposed to be up there modeling, and Jeremy showed up there. I said, what are you doing here? And he said, I don't know. I'm supposed to wear a suit. So, yeah, I got to know Jeremy a little bit through those odd interactions. But my one and only time modeling, I won't do that again.
Only in Tallahassee.
You're right. Yeah. So, but we did that. And Jeremy, you know, had some influence on me before I had ever thought about or wanted to run for office. But I liked what he was doing and what he stood for, why he was running. So for me, whenever I say we all succeed together and I say helping Leon grow, I believe the solution to our crime problem and the solution to our, you know, lack of affordable housing and the solution to some of the conditions that people live in the current housing that they have, it's all in economic opportunity. We have a big disparity in income and wealth, and those are different things. We have people who can't build wealth because, you know, they can't get into the right housing. The community right now is building a lot of student condos, $150,000 student condos, and they're calling that affordable housing. That's not what our community needs. That's not affordable housing. That's not helping anyone on the South Side.
As a commissioner, how do you influence that, though? I mean, that's a private decision.
Well, it isn't. It should be a private decision, but it isn't, because we put a lot of community money into building those infrastructures, building those sidewalk projects, building those.
I guess I was thinking about affordable housing. I mean, if a builder or developer comes in and says, this is what I want to do, I guess the permitting part of that.
Well, the
public
permitting and the grant money and the help, the partnerships that they build.
Okay.
So, no, I think we can focus on better types of affordable housing, more single family, more, duplexes. I heard another candidate today talk about duplexes and townhomes. Those are things people can buy and build wealth with, build equity in their position, you know, whenever they get into that. But also our, what I call micro grants. I don't know that that's the correct term for them, but, you know, instead of building these giant $1 million projects, I think we can help our small entrepreneurs with, you know, $10,000 and $15,000 grants, or at the very least, we can dedicate some of our county personnel to helping them apply for licensing, helping them apply to meet all of the regulations, register a corporation, register a LLC. I think we can assist the people within the community. I don't know if it's on the sheet you've got there, but another one of my quotes is out there in some of the advertising, is the solutions to our problems exist in the community now. The solutions are already out there. I'm not going to come in here and create some kind of new idea nobody ever thought of before. There's people working in the community now that have the ideas. They know what needs to be done. They're just not getting the resources and the support they need. So that's where I come in. I want the government to facilitate the support to those people who have the solutions, and that's government's role, in my opinion, is to be a facilitator.
With Marianne Lindley stepping aside and you running for that position at large with the commission, did she have any advice for you?
I spoke to her early on about this, and she told me she was stepping aside. That was before I ever decided to run. And, you know, I asked her what was important to her, what she, whoever takes over for her, what the would be important for them to continue. And she mentioned Leon Works, which is perfect because, you know, bringing those job-ready education and skills into the community, making those available. And then through the campaign, I've learned that Bethel Family Center has some occupational training. Goodwill has some occupational training. Like, there are some resources out there that don't get publicized as much as they need. And I think our county can dedicate resources to that, helping the community know what's available for free or what's available that may have scholarships. So that was something Marianne mentioned to me that was right in my wheelhouse that I hope to continue on her behalf.
If you were to complete this sentence, how would you answer? The biggest problem in Leon County is?
Well, it's income disparity. It's people that don't have the opportunities to make the living wage income that they need. We've got to create opportunities for them. And even our college graduates, they graduate and they leave town. We've got to create opportunities around the airport, around the mag lab, around the industrial center, around the universities. We've got so much talent and heart and ambition here that we're not capitalizing on.
He'll be on the ballot this coming Tuesday for the upcoming primary candidate for Leon County Commissioner at Large. Our new and good friend, Scott Flowers. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I had a great time.
We'll be looking forward to more from you in the years ahead because I think this is an opportunity for you to get acquainted with a lot of people out there who otherwise haven't known you. Just looking at your resume, you're going to stay busy.
Well, thank you.
Because we need guys like you.
I hope so. Thanks for your support. I appreciate it.
You bet. Folks, that's what I have for you today. Thanks for tuning in. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world. MooseMagnificat.com is where you'll find it, bringing you all local musicians playing their original songs all the time. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.